Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Coming at you from the ATL, from inside the paint and beyond the arc. This is nothing but Nest, your Atlanta Hawks podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson.
We're off the rails already, which is great because this is definitely going in the Nothing But Nest podcast feed. Talking to my co-host on Nothing But Nest, Deshaun Tate. Deshaun, how's your Thanksgiving going?
Outstanding so far. Let's get one thing out the way real quick, Garrett and Caleb. And, no, you already know where I'm going, Caleb. You already know where I'm going.
I never know where you're going.
Good, because guess what? Listen, as long as we get one thing out the way, it is sweet potato pie,
okay.
Pumpkin pie. You guessed it, and it doesn't stop there. Guess what else? It's always and forever going to be dressing over that stovetop. Stuff, whatever, I don't know what it's called. I just want to clear the air just so that we're clear.
Okay, so you're a sweet potato pie over pumpkin pie and a dressing over stuffing.
Oh no, stuffing all the way. What are we talking about here?
Yeah,
I gotta go all stuffing. All stuffing all the way. Well, stuffing is my stuffing's a favorite of mine.
I was just about to
say that's top of the list for me.
Well,
Stuffing is what you put inside of, like, teddy bears and stuff like that you get at the fair.
No, that's what you put inside of my stomach because it's Thanksgiving.
It's two Americas. That's honestly, that's what it really boils down to. Deshaun, obviously you getting to work with me on the Nothing But Nest podcast, or I get to work with you, I should probably say.
I get to deal with Caleb.
Yeah, he gets to put up with me. I get up bright and early. 8 a.m. is when we usually record those episodes. I try to fit Deshaun's very busy schedule. But, Deshaun, you were there last night with me as the Hawks took down the Kings. And I feel like you had one very important thing that you kept stressing to me throughout this game. What was that thing?
Wow, at this point, it's like, which thing? I know we keep talking about three-point shooting, but more than anything, and I even asked Trae Young about it, I'm assuming this is where you're going, beating the teams that you are supposed to beat.
Yep.
Am I right, Caleb?
That's it.
Beating the teams you're supposed to beat. And I know people are going to say, Sacramento came in with a 7-game win streak. And yes, they are improved. We don't know if they're definitely going to be a playoff team or not or whatever the case may be. Nonetheless, the Sacramento Kings, let's just be honest about it. Let's keep it real. Keep it a buck. Keep it a bean. You cool kids, millennials say it nowadays or whatever you call it. Listen, just keeping it 100, okay? You got to beat the Sacramento Kings. I don't care how improved they are. Sacramento Kings is the team that you used to be when you were the young Hawks. You were the young dogs, and everybody just came into this city, into Atlanta, to say, oh, well, you know, we're flying into Atlanta. Nobody's circling that game on their calendar. Nobody's highlighting it leading up to the Eastern Conference Finals that they made a couple of years ago. We're just going to stop by the Gentlemen's Club, and then we got a game the next day. I think we have some kind of basketball game or something like that. That's what Atlanta was considered to be. Now State Farm Arena is going crazy. There's a little bit of success. The Hawks are all grown up. I've said it for years. They need more adults on this team, and they're getting some of those things. And you got to beat the Sacramento Kings at the end of the day. And guess what? It doesn't just stop there. The slate of the net to finish out the month of November, where you got Rockets and Magic and, you know, Philly without Embiid maybe or whatever the case may be, all four of these, the next four games are all of teams that are 500 or lower. You have to beat these teams. Do I expect you to go 4-0? I think that's what your goal is, obviously. But it's something that you have to be more than striving to do. That's an expectation now if you're the Atlanta Hawks. That's the approach.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. That voice you're hearing is Deshaun Tate from the Nothing But Nest podcast right here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Trae Young seems to have turned a corner. I mean, at least he's picking up some efficiency and he's looking a little bit better on the court. He's putting the ball through the hoop at a high clip. Is this the Trae that we can come to know, at least expect over the next couple of games?
Listen, Trae Young is a high-volume shooter. Anytime you got someone like that, the percentages are always going to be up and down. Sometimes they're going to dip. Sometimes they're going to look really good. Listen, Trae Young has not looked merely like the Trae Young that I think that he should look like entering the season and that most people probably agree with from a shooting standpoint. But the team hasn't so far either, especially from the perimeter. With the exception of one or two guys, who I think personally, I'm going to make sure I say this right here. Hey, the brightest spot of this team so far, and I know everybody loves DeJounte Murray. By the way, we have a new nickname for him.
Yeah.
His name is Debo Murray, okay, because he steals everything, Debo Murray. But, realistically, I want to see Trae Young grow in the other areas. Forget about the shooting, because that's going to get together. They're going to develop and establish this chemistry with this backcourt and all that good stuff. They're going to shoot better as a team. Okay. The reality is that where are you on defense and getting stops? Because we know that that's what adds a number to the left side of the result column. That's number one. The other thing is I just want to be able to see Trae Young excel more in leading this team, learning his team, learning what it takes to be not just a winner, but a consistent winner. I've been watching the kid since he was 16 years old. He's always been a winner for the most part. It was obviously a little rocky here in Atlanta, and everybody knows that story. Now the expectations, again, just much like the team, they get higher. I told Caleb this on our podcast. It wouldn't be long before we start hearing little chirps and tweets and everything else about people saying that, is DeJounte Murray kind of taking a little bit of the shine away from Trae Young a little bit? Not to say it's not, Trae's team or does have the keys to the city, but I also think that that's something that's good for Trae Young, a little bit of challenge, a little bit of competitiveness. And I think once they really get this thing going, once they get probably, one-third through the season or halfway through the season, we could be looking at a team that is already looking somewhat good, just got to be a little bit more consistent.
Deshaun, we've obviously spent a lot of time, and I know a lot of people have, covering this Hawks team, talking about three-point shooting and how it's just hasn't been there for this team this year. Bottom of the league and just hasn't come together. I was telling Garrett earlier when we started the show, like seeing a night where Trae Young goes 4-for-7 makes me go, oh, wow, like Trae's having a really good shooting night, even though we've kind of, I feel like, come to expect more out of him. Another guy that we haven't expected so much to be an incredible or just efficient three-point shooter, John Collins, a guy that had not been hitting the well until the last couple of games, and then goes 0-for-7 last night against the Kings. I know Nate McMillan has talked about the fact that he wants John to continue shooting those, maybe shoot more of them. Where do you stand when it comes to John Collins and that three-point shooting?
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, besides the fact I know you were talking about Trae and the shooting, and obviously he's definitely a cerebral player as well and swinging the ball around, distributing, facilitating. But as far as John, 0-for-7 from 3, 25% from the field is unacceptable. That's just the reality of it. If you're a big man and you're out here shooting, from the perimeter, area that he has improved in all the way up until what we've seen this year. Not sure what's happening to it, but he's got to look himself in the mirror and try and figure out what it is that's going on. When you're in a position like last night where he has more fouls than he has rebounds, by the way, the other night in the game that they had prior to that, and you know, where they lost, I think it was against Cleveland, one rebound, those things are not cutting it, especially for $125 million. Now, I'm not here to count nobody's pockets, okay? That being said, the expectations become higher each time, and when you get that kind of money, I've always been the person that I've said, and I told you this too, Caleb, you know, when John Collins first got drafted, he came into this league, I didn't have any high expectations. Actually, my expectations for him were actually low because I didn't think he was going to do nearly as good as he did. And that continued to improve each year, even though I'm a person that believe he didn't really have a skill set. And some, in many ways, still believe in that. And I told him to his face that I was completely wrong about where I thought that he was at the beginning. But now what we're starting to see is, you know, we know that he needed to grow and develop, contribute in different areas, be more of a rim protector, be more of a, you know, better ball handler, showing that improvement, more of a perimeter defender, because we know that guys your same size can step right out there and shoot that jump shot and so forth. And you got to be able to, you know, close out on guys when they're either shooting a jump shot or trying to penetrate to the basket and you're stuck out there on the island by yourself. Offensively, he doesn't look as good as he has definitely improved some defensively this year. And I think a lot of people can agree with that, but that's going to be overshadowed by how bad he has been on the offensive side. I don't think he has much of a skill set outside of the can you run, can you jump, athletic ability. Yes, he checks those boxes, can hit a jump shot every now and then. Even though we haven't seen it this year, we know that he is capable of doing so. It looks like it's a mental situation, and I hope it works out, because if not, I'm not exactly sure. As you know, the rumors, Caleb, I'm not really sure how much longer he's going to be in a Hawks uniform, and that's been something that's kind of been an ongoing thing ever since last year and obviously the offseason going into this season.
Deshaun, I want to change gears a little bit and talk about a guy who's not on the floor right now, Bogdan Bogdanović.
Oh, I thought you were changing gears going into some college hoops.
I do. I have a college question for you. I do have a college question for you. Hang tight now. I'm not sure you'll like it either.
Look at Caleb rolling his eyes emoji.
I'm not sure you'll like it too much. But no, I do want to talk about Bogey Bogdanović, a guy who has not played a whole heck of a lot. In fact, he's played not at all because he's still rehabbing from that knee injury, or excuse me, that knee surgery that he had this offseason. And I think it's become increasingly clear how important he is to this lineup, this rotation, and especially from three-point shooting. What is this rotation going to look like when he comes back? And follow-up question, is A.J. Griffin still going to have a home in this rotation once we see Bogey Bogdanović return?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, when you say what does the rotation look like, I know this doesn't sound really great for radio, but the answer is I don't know, and DeShaun Tate doesn't get paid to know exactly what that rotation is going to look like either. That's Nate McMillan's job. But nonetheless, I can tell you this much. I think that it is going to provide more balance. While he's not necessarily considered to be the guy that's like a defensive anchor or anything by those means, you have to – what the Hawks have tried to do is try to address some of the things that they, you know, have with picking up somebody like A.J. Griff, the silencer, the silent killer, as I like to call him, with some of that outside shooting. If there is one person who has been shooting the ball well, and I know that that's kind of hard to find on this team, but it shouldn't be too hard because he's been the guy shooting the ball as well as he has. For a guy who hasn't even played, 15 games, 16, 17 games or something along those lines in his first professional season. And then you add Bogey to that, obviously. And then, of course, you know, some of the, you know, us thinking about how poor they are on the perimeter from a shooting standpoint makes us want to vomit. You swallow that vomit now because I know that sounds bad, but you swallow that vomit now because you have guys that can, you know, contribute in the ways that is your biggest need outside of defense. And I'll tell you one thing. I believe that AJ has proven and shown himself so far where he's on the upward trajectory and can only go up from here to where he will show and prove to be a part of this rotation. Let's be honest. When he first came in here, we didn't know exactly what was going to come of A.J. Griffin. Like, we didn't know how much time he was going to see the floor. A lot of people didn't really have too many high expectations. You know, they could probably come in here, we'll see. But after 1 year at Duke, and then obviously there were some injuries, he still needs to get better lateral movement on the defensive side of the ball, amongst other things. He's been showing his role. Let's be real. he is exactly what we thought we were going to get out of Cam Reddish. Like, if you're thinking about it, he is that piece. He is exactly what you thought. Maybe not the athleticism, maybe not the wingspan, maybe not the defense, and maybe not the high potential and all these other things that make you salivate, you know. But the reality is that he has been that for this team. And there's a lot of times when we can look at this game and say, whether we say it or not, whether we tweet it or not, but I like to think the consensus would agree that you get this feel, this energy, and this vibe when you watch him and say, I'm not sure where we would be in this game without A.J. Griffin. We've said that and felt that way multiple times this year, and I think it's a great thing that he's on this team and probably the brightest spot of everything that we've seen from a consistency standpoint with this team this season.
All right, Deshaun, look, it's not Christmas. It's Thanksgiving. It's a time to be thankful, and it's not a gift-giving time, but I'm going to give you a very quick gift because you're my guy, and you love college hoops, and so Garrett has a college hoops question for you.
Deshaun, no, so Dick Vitale, did you see Dick Vitale's comments?
Probably have to go, which one?
Did he say something along the lines of the game?
College basketball starts too soon, and I'm sure you'll have some comments about that. What do you have to say about that?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You kind of threw me off with that one. There's never a time that I don't have very nice things to say about Dick Vitale.
But I
think this the safest way I could play this is it appears that some of Dick Vitale's energy and approach to this game, the way that we're used to seeing, it's just rubbing off onto me. It's the passing of the torch. Okay, the reality is that I'm the one that's have to carry the load now and push the college basketball. There's no way this thing's starting too early. College basketball does not end, as far as I'm concerned. So we'll just leave that there for now. But it makes everything that much better because, listen, you have this time where you got the Maui Invitational, all the preseason tournaments. Go and check out the PK85 on today where all the Nike teams are playing in Portland for the next three games, and they're all substantially really good teams. So, you know, it's always March in the Tate household.
All right, Deshaun, that was, you know, we give you your moment so you can talk some college hoops. But, look, we got to get out of here. Thanks, Deshaun, for coming on and giving the people a little bit of a taste of Nothing But Nest, the podcast that Deshaun and I have on Odyssey and wherever you get your podcast. Appreciate it, Deshaun.
Go subscribe. Nothing But Nest is the best Hawks podcast out there. Appreciate you guys.